Today's Watson Weekly is a special edition that is one of a series of three interviews recorded at Shopware's Partner Day on April 24th, 2025. These were recorded in the basement of a German beer hall and restaurant, so I think those interested in the digital commerce complexity of serving manufacturers and distributors should find it a lot of fun.
Yeah, so I'm here at Shopware Partner Day. This is Rick Watson. I'm here with Ashley Lang, the VP of North America at PIMCOR.
Nice to be here, man.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming out in the Windy City. It's not windy today. The weather's actually quite nice.
It's a beautiful day. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I'm going to talk Celsius, but it was like 16 degrees upstairs. So
right.
Walking around in a t-shirt, definitely doable today.
No, it's quite lovely. And I think let's start from the beginning, which is what is PIMCOR?
Yeah, PIMCOR is an interesting platform. It's in our name, PIM, Product Information Management. That's really where we started. And, you know, we realized really early in our evolution that, you know, product information management, you need the assets, right, that support it, not just the images, but like things like sell sheets and safety sheets and all those other collateral that go with the product to manage, you know, everything that happens next in the sales cycle, including the experiences. We end up getting involved a lot in portal projects where you have sales teams, customer care teams that are working at a wholesaler, distributor, manufacturer that need access to the same information the e-commerce channel needs. So we kind of grew out of pure PIM into all of that ancillary, you know, managing the assets, managing the master data, making it available to the entire ecosystem, not just the e-commerce, but all of the channels where traditional sales and so on happens.
Got it. And then I guess, how did you talk to me a little bit about your journey into technology and space?
It's a funny story. So Australian, you can hear the accent. But I live in New York City. I've lived in New York City 27 years now. I studied technology at university, went to work at a bank. I was a mainframe developer, right? COBOL, JCL, that kind of world. And the bank I was at bought another bank and said, a management consultant firm came over from New York City. And I worked on that project with them for 6 months. And at the end of that, they were like, hey, Ashley. And I was like in my mid-20s at the time. Come work with us. And I'm like, who's going to offer me a job in New York City? I grew up on cane farms in Australia, you know, so it was quite the journey. And so I stayed and I've been stuck in New York City 27 years. Stuck is probably not the right word.
Right.
I love it there. But yeah, so, you know, that was kind of my journey. But after I came to the US, I did that management consulting thing for a couple of years. And then I did a couple of internet startups, joined the agency world. I actually had my own agency. We grew to about 100 people. That's back, you know, between like about 2003 to 2013 territory. And along the journey, I worked with a lot of B2Bs that were trying to bring up like customer portals. They were trying to go from like traditional salespeople inside and out to some self-service portals for their customers. And they had ERPs and they had this dream and they had no data to support the dream. And I realized really early in those projects that product information management was what we needed. And that's how I found PIMCOR. So I was actually implementing PIMCOR on that side of the table for, I don't know, maybe 10 years or so. And recently, it's like 18 months ago now, the PIMCOR team was like, hey, we want to, you know, build a team up in the US because they're Austrian based. And so I've kind of come from the agency implementer side to the product side of the house, which was, you know, quite an interesting journey for me. I had to relearn a lot of things being on the product side.
Yeah. I mean, that I think it's fascinating because PIM is it's a misunderstood business. And I think within companies, clients, as you would term them.
Yeah.
First of all, there's not always a clear understanding that there is such a thing as PIM.
Yeah, that's right, Rick. A lot of people start by, hey, let's put all this product content in our e-commerce platform. And now it's a little silo again, where the sales team, the customer care, the resellers, other channels don't have access to the same information. And a lot of time what I see happen is people wake up to that when they go maybe to their second channel, or they wake up to it because their marketing team is like underwater trying to deliver assets to the sales team. And that's when, you know, people awaken to, oh, PIM, that's a thing, you know,
right.
and we get pulled into the conversation a lot at that moment.
Maybe we should have thought about this before.
Yeah. And it's I would say 80-20 rule, just making it simple. 80% of the time, the people run into the problem, before they realize they need a PIM, right? Yeah. And 20% of the time you get that slick, smart person that maybe ran into it at their previous job,
right?
And now they're at a new company and they're doing it the right way, doing PIM first.
And so how, I guess, being ahead of the North American business, as you think about your kind of remit, who's your ideal customer for PIMCORE?
Yeah, PIMCORE would definitely mid-market to enterprise. We have a lot of folks I think I see all the time, wholesalers, distributors, manufacturers come up all the time. A lot of them, you know, are either trying to make better product information available to their resellers, or some of them are going direct themselves, or they're trying to support their sales teams, right, with self-service portals for those repeat orders and so on. But to do all of that, you need great product information, and you need the same product information in front of all those people. So I think those come up all the time. It tends to be complex products, right? It's not your t-shirts and shorts. It tends to be your very configurable product, something that, you know, has a lot of options. And I just don't mean color and size. You know, maybe think of like a sofa or a Lazy Boy, for example, where, you know, you've got a lot of components you add to it, right? Very configurable product. Or an industrial piece of equipment, where, again, there's a lot of fitment issues. There's a lot of like OEM parts, things that get added afterwards. So those are things that drive complexity. The other complexity we see come up in our ecosystem a lot is not so much the product is complicated, but it's a very diverse catalog. So you have maybe a supermarket, for example, that has, you know, thousands of suppliers, right? And their catalog is super diverse.
Right.
So now they have a really big challenge with their catalog. So we see a lot of that come up as well.
Yeah, I want to go back to something you said. It was like struck my interest, which is sort of the 80-20 rule you talked about. 80% of the people don't realize they have a problem until it's too late. You know, too late is maybe a term. You can always change, right?
Yeah.
But it's just a little bit harder when you have a lot of other systems in place.
It certainly
and
is.
And then realizing you have a problem is often step one.
Yeah, totally.
And
totally.
Once you become aware that you have a problem, convincing someone else to fund a project like this, because PIM is like, having been in the space myself for a while, you know, it's almost like someone who tries to do something in the day, have their paper cut in their hand. It's like, oh, I could get through this. I'll muscle through this some other way.
But then
it starts to get worse and worse and worse, and maybe it gets infected, and then it starts to affect. Like, okay, maybe I should sit and address this the right way. Like,
yeah. A lot, you know, it's really interesting. A lot of the time, there is a trigger moment, right? It's they want to add a new channel, and like you're describing, the pain is getting too big, right? Because they're already suffering with resources, or, you know, private equity or an investment has come in, or they've acquired someone and their catalog is about to explode. Again, it's another trigger moment. Those really help you get to decision quickly.
Yeah.
When it's just general pain, I've seen sales cycles take over a year.
Yeah.
Because you have to educate the entire organization to the benefit of what's going to come out the other side.
Right.
So it's like most sales. If you have an internal champion that can help you with that education, that trusted voice, it's going to go faster.
Yeah.
I think your analogy is good.
It's one of those pieces of software there. It's, you know, it's not like a marketing tool. Like, okay, you need more customers. You spend money. You're going to get more customers.
Yeah.
Whereas PIM, you have a problem. You put in money. You're going to get software.
You may not get
more sales.
And that's the interesting thing. That's why I, back to the 80-20, most people invest in the e-commerce platform, invest in the self-service platform, because they see dollar signs straight away. There's a clear, you know, trajectory to revenue. And when you implement a PIM, you have to look a little bit more under the hood. Okay, you know what? It could reduce returns because more accurate information. It can increase sales because you now have accurate information in all your channels. Your customer is not, oh, I'm not sure. I don't think this is right. I'm going to buy it from someone else. So you start to solve a lot of little problems, which can add up to a big difference. You know, we've seen return rates on some companies reduced by 80%. We've seen other companies, you know, sales have gone up by 10 or 15% just because they have better information.
Right.
So you really, each company has to look at, you know, their situation and what is what is the goal they're going for? And a lot of the time, because PIM can be such an expansive topic with channels and teams, it's really what's that North Star, right, for the MVP or the phase one? Because you could spend years rolling out a PIM, connecting to all your channels, and that's not the right approach.
Right.
You need to find the problem that you're facing and solve
find the problem. I mean, I think finding a problem in particular that's related, especially the first problem.
Yeah.
Right. And there might be 10 problems, but it doesn't necessarily mean you should fix the 10th problem.
That's right.
Immediately.
That's right.
Finding that first problem that's related to the buyer's journey or affects the buyer's journey will help you gain some momentum.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, it has to always be about the buyer. It has to be about what's the objective of the business. Okay, it's to make money. Who are we making money from? Right. How can we make their life better? It's the what's in it for me, you know, is what you need to focus on.
I would love to talk about those sort of like configurable scenarios. You mentioned like one thing offhand, like parts and fitment. And you said it like a throwaway term when I know it's like there's a lot of huge complexity behind that. And so why don't you unpack that? Like if you're someone that's in the automotive industry, for instance, what makes that category complicated?
Yeah, it's interesting. And the same concept is not just automotive, it's industrial equipment, it's appliances. But what happens, right? You're assembling a complex piece of equipment. Take the car and you've got the 2025 model of the Ford Mustang, and you start making it, and you've made thousands of them, and your supplier can no longer give you that part, or there's a recall and you have to change the design of some component, right? So, but you're not releasing a new 2025 model of the Mustang.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing. But now I've got to service that Mustang, right? Mm. I've got people in the mechanic shop that need to replace that component, replace that fan belt, that
gasket,
whatever it is.
But they can't order that part anymore.
That part's not available, but there has to be a substitution. And if the part was redesigned, you have a point where using serial numbers, you know all of these serial numbers use that part. But all the serial numbers from that point forward use a different part. And it gets really complex when you have something like a car that's literally got millions of components, or a refrigerator, or an air conditioner, whatever it is. Right. Like these things are made of lots of pieces. And when they are a serviceable, repairable item with OEM parts or substitutions going on, it gets super complicated to keep track of.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm struck that having been involved as a consultant in some of these businesses like you have, a lot of this data, it's in two places. It's in the heads of the service people that have been in the space for a long time.
Yes.
Or it's in these catalogs.
Exactly. It's in those service manuals.
It's in service manuals. It's in diagrams that at some point aren't digitized.
Absolutely
right. And so how do you get from a catalog or a service manual into a PIM?
Yeah, it's really interesting challenge. There are some industries, automotive is one of the better ones, where they have an industry standard for the data. But there are plenty of others, pumps, industrial equipment, where they're all just making it up. And it's exactly the problem you're touching on, is it's in a PDF.
Right.
And a lot of the time, historically, it has been...
And it's always been in the PDF.
Yeah, and it's always been in the PDF. And so, you know, up until recently, it's been giant outsourced team somewhere in India or Asia, go look at all these catalogs and punch the data into a PIM. Now, AI is solving that problem
so
a very different way, is training the AI on these catalogs. And you have to train the AI on the vendor, right? So JLG or Genie, whoever the company is, training on their material. But now you can go from, you know, just a human massive machine to something happening much more automagically. And it takes training of the AI, but it's an incredibly new world coming. I think there's going to be a great equalization of, you know, product data in, you know, the coming decade with what AI can do for us.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I mean, it's fascinating. I would love to bring this back to kind of where we are today at the Shopware events. What are you looking to learn today at the event?
Yeah, for me, I want to kind of hear the stories of what people are encountering in the e-commerce world. I really, again, back to where we started the conversation, it's really interesting for me how many agencies are implementing really amazing commerce experiences, but don't realize the pain of bad product data or multiple channels that they're going to encounter with their customers. And so really hearing their stories, and I'll have an opportunity to teach, you know, folks about what a PIM is later in the day. But just again, meeting people, hearing their stories, letting them know about the possibilities for their world, I think is really what I want to get out of it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's exciting. And it's like, as we extend beyond today into like the rest of the year, there's some uncertainty. Like, what are two takeaways that you would like to give the audience that they should be thinking about as they kind of navigate this time, as well as think about like how to plan the next phase of their business?
Yeah, I think, you know, if you're doing sales the traditional way, with a lot of B2Bs are, and they're not doing it in e-commerce yet, the buyers that you have today are aging out. Mm. And your buyers, you know, the 30-year-olds are all getting purchasing power, and they expect to do it the Amazon way. They're expecting the app, they're expecting the whatever. To achieve that, you need good product data. Your ERP is not going to do it for you. Your PDFs are not going to do it for you. Your call center is not going to do it for you. They're not going to call you. So you really need to think about product data and how valuable that is to your ability to kind of keep transacting as your buyer group, you know, ages and changes. I think that would be a big one that I'd encourage a lot of B2Bs to think more seriously about.
Awesome. Yeah, no, think about the next generation of buyers. How are you going to service them, make their experience easier? I mean, something that resonates with me, because when I talk to clients, and when you really get down to why they're trying to go through this transformation, the answer I hear sometimes is like, we're just too damn hard to do business with.
Yeah. It comes up again. So I'm in my 50s. I don't have a problem picking up a phone and placing an order. But, you know, my kids, who are teenagers now, who will soon be buying, they would never call anybody.
Right.
And that's absolutely right in the territory of too hard to do business with from their perspective. You've got to be able to do it in an app or something. But yeah, there's a lot of still complexity built into purchasing where, you know, there isn't the self-serve options. And I think that's all got to change.
Yeah.
It's because people won't stand for it, and they will find an alternative.
Yeah.
They will buy it from somewhere else.
No, I appreciate it. I mean, this has been a really great conversation. I want to thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me, man.
And looking forward to hearing from you later in the event and everything throughout the day.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Rick. Great
all right,
to be here.
Thanks a lot.
Cheers, man.
Did you know that RMW Commerce has another podcast? Check out the Watson Weekend for an unfiltered and lively e-commerce chat each week with me, Rick Watson, my co-host, Jess Lisewski, and an array of interesting guests and topics, all focused on e-commerce. You can find the Watson Weekend by searching for it on iTunes, Spotify, or YouTube. That's all for this week. Till next time, Watsonians. Hi, I'm Rick Watson, CEO and founder of RMW Commerce Consulting and host of the Watson Weekly Podcast, your essential e-commerce digest. Our production partner for the series is Podcasts on the Fly. To hear new episodes of the show every Monday morning, subscribe now at rmwcommerce.com/Watson Weekly and wherever you get your podcasts.